Yo, this is Will Clark, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Josh, fuck you.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
What did you say, Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. Today is our third and final episode recorded live on the field at Coachella. Another big shout out to the folks at Coachella for letting us in, letting us get down with our interviews. Today is my man, Will Clark. He sat down with us right before he took to the Doolab stage to catch wreck behind the tables over there. Will is a house and techno DJ from Bristol. He's had a long time residence in Ibiza. And since then, he's been building just his own brand. He's got the club and label called Cut a Rug. And he's got the barbershop radio show. And he's just building a little cool thing for himself. We get into a little bit about kind of cultural happenings from Coachella to Ibiza to Glastonbury and what all that means to him and to his scene. And really how he's trying to just make it fun for people. He gives us a little bit of insight into what motivates him to do it, and how he makes it work for himself. Good stuff in a pretty short interview coming up with Will Clark right after our EDM.com track of the week. Yo, that was Tyler Roper with Impulse, our EDM.com track of the week. If you like that, go over to EDM.com and check out new music. Meanwhile, let's get into the interview with Will Clark.
But thanks for doing this, man. I love
music. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Excited to talk to you. Hear how it all comes together.
Yeah.
How'd you get started?
A fair years ago. Yeah. The very, very start started me doing like discos.
Do you remember like the first one
weddings?
You played?
Yeah, like weddings and crazy shit like that.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then just learned how to DJ.
What made you want to DJ?
My brother got me into music.
Mm.
He wasn't a DJ, he just got me into, like, house.
What was, like...
It's, like, soulful.
Do you remember a record that, like, blew your mind at the beginning?
Not really.
No.
No. I don't even remember record names now.
Uh-huh.
I recognize, like, sleeves.
Yeah.
So I've still got the CD at home. It's, like, it's like Dance 95.
Yeah.
I've still got it at home, but...
Do you play CDs now?
No.
So I was talking to somebody about that the other day, like, when you're on the screen and you don't have the artwork.
Well, I make sure you do. Because on the USBs, you've got the like artwork that you put in.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it changed from vinyl, because obviously when you... Sure. It was so easy with vinyl just to like work out what records you're playing.
Yeah.
And with music, it was either like rugby or music.
Uh-huh.
So I buggered my shoulder and couldn't play rugby, so
yeah.
Decided to do music.
Nice.
Really. And went to college which is different in the UK to college here.
Sure.
So it's from like 16 to 18.
Yeah.
To learn music technology. Moved to Ibiza.
Nice.
Got a residency and all kind of started from there.
Nice.
And here
so
we are.
So here we are now.
Yeah.
Like this massive music festival.
Yeah.
Did you envision that at the beginning that you this is where it would head for you?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's always. Yeah. But I think each time you like, or I each time I like achieve something, it's like, well, we've achieved that, so what's next?
Are you not a celebrator?
No,
yeah.
Not really. I enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying every minute of it. But I'm more into like, right, we've done this, what's next?
Sure.
Yeah. I think you, I've had like certain times when you're like, well, this is the start of my career, and then something else will happen, and then you're like, no, actually, this is the start of my career.
So what? Give me an example.
I don't know. Like, I think the very first time was like when I had a residency in Ibiza, and then I realized that that actually, in the grand scheme of things, meant nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just lots of those.
So do you find, like, when something like that happens, does it change the game? Like, does it...
No.
No. What about playing here?
Is yeah.
That, like, that's a game changer.
It's really strange, because it's like... I think it changes the game for other people, how they look at me.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change anything for me.
Sure.
Like, I enjoy it, and it's fun. I don't know, it's really strange because I've never really been asked that, but I don't think it doesn't change me.
Okay.
It probably changes my career to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I just love playing, really.
So what about like this is obviously more than a music festival, it's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, of course,
right?
Yeah.
So how much do you think about creating culture and your role in that?
I think the whole point of the reason why I do it is so that people that go to the clubs, go to the festivals, they just have the best time ever.
Yeah.
That's literally all I want. I want everybody that comes to see me play, they have the best time. Myself, but I also want to create something that everyone can go and talk about, not because I want them to talk about me, but because I want them to just talk about how much fun they had.
Sure.
Really.
Yeah.
And it's kind of how I write records as well. Like when I've written records, I don't really look at them as my records. As soon as they're kind of signed and released, it's everybody else's.
No,
it's everybody else's opinion to kind of. They can say whatever they want.
Do you think that changes how you make music?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. It's strange, because when I write records for like a club, as a clubber.
Yeah.
But I was never really a clubber, so
okay.
It's kind of strange. I think it's just through playing in clubs so often,
yeah.
From such a young age. I started when I was 13, so I've always read crowds. I guess that's how I just write records.
Yeah.
Rather than, I don't know, yeah.
So how do you take that club mentality and bring it to a festival?
Well, I think people still want that club mentality in a festival.
Yeah.
It's just in a bigger space. I don't think because it's not a confined setting,
mm-hmm.
that I should change what I do. don't get me wrong, in festivals the sets are like an hour and 15 minutes, so I'm not gonna like play what I'd play in a 4-hour set. I condense it down.
Yeah.
But I don't change. I don't see any point, really. Because if they want to see me, they want to see what I've done. If you know what I mean. Don't get me wrong. For like things like this, I will probably like plan more of a set.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a club, I would never plan a set.
Really. You just go.
Yeah. But here, I've like got a rough plan. This is actually the only time I've ever planned.
Really.
For a set.
Yeah, that's
this,
cool.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's, you know, I've talked to the DJs about this, and obviously everybody does it differently, but
yeah.
I think it's harder to read, you know, you can't read a room the way
you read a festival,
club, right?
I think if you're reading a festival, I lock onto like certain areas or like certain people.
Yeah.
Because you physically can't look at everyone.
Absolutely.
From a two
cap. Some people can't even see him.
Yeah, exactly.
So far away. Yeah.
And I think the more I enjoy it, the more everyone else enjoys it.
Yeah.
Personally, like, if I was to go see a DJ or a band and they're just like cardboard cutouts on stage, it's just like, come on, guys.
The worst.
Yeah, like, you're not too cool.
Yeah.
Don't act like that.
You know, you mentioned not planning your set. Like, I don't like to, like, talk about, like, real DJs versus whatever, but I had an experience. I was at a party with a DJ, and the guy playing asked him just to come up.
Yeah.
And the guy just jumped up and didn't know the records.
Yeah.
He was playing this other guy's crate. And he just did his thing, and I was like, I had a moment where I was like, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it is. I think it's being able to read a crowd.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, anyone can mix records with sync buttons.
Yeah.
But I think it's just being able to play the right records and enjoying it.
For sure.
That's the main thing.
Hey, check this out. This week and really all summer long, Rebel Radio is brought to you by Blue Apron. We've been using it for the last month or so, and we love it. By we, I mean Christy has been cooking up some of the great recipes delivered by Blue Apron while I've been sitting there on the couch doing nothing. It's easy. It takes her 40 minutes or less. I sit there with a stopwatch and timer. And the food's been great. The recipes are really flexible. We haven't had the same meal twice. Christy is allergic to shrimp, so we selected no seafood. And whoop-de-whoop, it all works out. If you don't know Blue Apron, it's the number one fresh ingredient and delivery service, recipe delivery service. So they're giving you the recipes and the food to make it. Everything is portioned out, pre-prepared. All you gotta do is chop it up and cook it and eat it. They're making incredible home cooking accessible to anyone, even you. Check out this week's menu and you'll get your first three meals for free with free shipping just because you listen to Rebel Radio by going to blueapron.com/rebel. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait, do it now. That's blueapron.com/rebel. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
So how do you think about, you know, you have Ibiza, you have Euroclub in UK, and then you're on the road all the time.
Yeah.
So how do you think about, like, building a global business versus doing your thing locally?
It's kind of weird because locally, where I'm from back home, I don't really play.
No.
I play more in the States.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's something that I want to work on and build on. I haven't played in my hometown for probably 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, there's like a lot of clicks.
Is that on purpose?
Half and half.
Yeah.
I'm not really into getting into clicks that are like, so apart from the Dirty Bird guys, but I think it's more, that's more of a kind of, it's like a friendship more so rather than a clique.
Sure.
So I think, yeah, I always speak to a lot of DJs, a lot of my friends, they don't often play in their hometown for like when they're building success.
Yeah.
Because either people, like 3 years ago, you were getting paid £50.
Sure.
And
yeah,
then,
they see you in
and
a
then they
way.
See you in a different way, and they're like, oh, well, we used to pay for him for this.
Like, that's
and,
Will from around.
Yeah, like it's just from down the road. Like, yeah. So I guess, yeah, things change.
Yeah.
But it's positive. It's definitely positive.
Yeah.
He'll get there with that.
So you mentioned, you know, you're always thinking about what's next, so.
Yeah.
This is obviously a milestone.
Yeah.
What's the next? What's the next goal?
Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah.
I live like, we were just talking about it, I live like 15 minutes away from it, and
killer.
I've always gone with my dad, so I'd absolutely love to like take my parents and go
nice.
Play.
That's cool.
That's definitely, that's always been a goal. I think there's loads of little goals that just keep on evolving.
Is there one big one?
It should be fucking massive. Rule the world. I think like the main goal is for me is to like, I guess like this sounds really cliche and really cheesy as fuck, but like leave a legacy,
yeah.
Leave something behind so that people can remember. Not, I don't really care if they remember my name, but just music wise or something.
What's the hardest part of this job?
I really don't know.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that goes on behind closed doors that people don't see.
Sure.
I think for me, the hardest thing I find is letting other people do work for me. I hate to, I'm a massive control freak. And I want to be like doing all of it.
What's been the toughest thing to hand off?
Can't say it right now.
No, go for it. Go for it.
I don't know. Like, I think I've just changed management like three, four months ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole different. I was doing a lot. I was very hands on beforehand, and now because the team that I've got now are just they just have more experience.
Sure.
So they're just like, right, we'll do this, we'll do that. And I kind of see myself checking in on things to see if it's done. And it's done like a week ago.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a nice
thing. It's a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like this one, I got a good one for you in the archives. Go back to Rebel Radio on iTunes or SoundCloud. Listen to the Claude Von Stroke interview. Claude is, he's the founder of Dirty Bird Records, the Dirty Bird Cookout, the Dirty Bird Campout, anything Dirty Bird, that's your man. It's a great interview from sometime last year. Right after you finish this, interview with Will Clark, of course.
I think social media, I will never give up. It's one thing I refuse to give away to
someone.
Is that right? Yeah.
Why?
Because I love it. I think it's part of the job,
yeah.
Really. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah. What do you feel you get back from that?
I think it really helps building, like, not just fans, but building people that actually give a shit about you. And that, like, want to get to know you more. Like, I reply to everyone that emails me, I reply to everyone that comments on my pictures, I reply to everyone that comments on Facebook statuses. So I just like, and I feel that way you kind of grow a relationship with people that some people wouldn't necessarily do. So I think some of the people that I've met that come to my shows, like, some of them are really close friends now. which is nice.
I think it's also like a very like authentic way to do it because it's actually you, you know, and you don't have a company handling it and like scheduling things to go up, you know, it's like it's actually you behind it, it shows that you care.
I think people can feel that too.
Yeah.
Consciously or not, but it comes through.
Yeah. You always get like, I always get the odd email that like through like Facebook and it's like, I'm not too sure if this is Will, but blah, blah, blah. And I guess other people have other people doing it, which I get, like there's some people that are just so busy that,
or I think they just can't,
it's not a priority for them. It's a priority for me.
Also truthfully, you've got a marketing brain. Like that's just one thing that you've got, which is awesome working with you. I've worked with plenty of artists who just don't get it.
I think like music isn't the only thing I want to do, so I like one. I like doing other things.
What else you want to do?
I want to own restaurants.
Nice. That's a tough business.
Yeah. I really want to own like some really cool restaurants. I love cooking, so I wouldn't be the chef, but I love to be part of the kind of part of that.
Nice.
I really want to own like. I really want to own like a big chain of like barber shops.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Is that why your show is called
Yeah,
show?
Partly. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's up? Will Clark here. Welcome to your fourth appointment at the barbershop. On this month's show, we have tracks from Huxley, Sheba San, Jamie Jones, also MK sitting in on the barber's chair. First, let's get started with some Landis of the Place. Keep it locked.
Welcome to the barbershop.
I can't cut hair, and I don't ever wish to cut hair, but it's just something I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you, obviously, you know, you're pretty hands-on, have you had mentors that, like...
I guess my parents are quite big mentors. Family friends, I've got some, like, close family friends that are pretty successful in business.
So what's a lesson that somebody's helped you?
Work your ass off. Literally. Yeah. I guess that's the only thing that I've learned.
That's probably enough.
Yeah. Just don't stop working. And when you think you should stop working, then that's when you shouldn't.
Do you find like people around you give up too soon?
It's really strange. When I started, there's a lot of people that started with me that are no longer here.
Sure.
And I think some people think they work really hard and should be given more. But I think, I think I'm pretty chilled with it, but. Like, if somebody says, if something's turned away, or I don't know what, but then it's just, like, right back to the drawing board, really, rather than asking questions, just get on with it and move on to the next thing, really, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I have a couple of, like, speed round questions.
Sweet.
Before I let you get onto the field. Okay, so if I was part of your team.
Yeah.
What's something I would hear you say over and over?
Fuck. Okay. That's a good one.
I don't even, we talk like every single day and I don't even know how to answer that.
Okay.
I think if you're a part of the team, you would just hear from him every day.
Yeah.
That's like how involved you are.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would you be most excited to learn as a fan?
Kendrick.
not Kendrick Lamar. Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dope.
I know that's random as fuck.
Oh, he's here.
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
And
that Hans Zimmer's a legend, man.
That dude is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Are you a reader?
No.
What movie have you seen the most?
Drive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It's my favorite movie. Oh, and Social good. Network.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I like those.
And favorite DJ of all time?
Christian Martin. Nice. Yeah. He kills it every time. There's some people that I haven't seen that I feel like they could be up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Christian Martin.
Killer. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you taking time for this.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Yo, that was Will Clark live at Coachella on Rebel Radio. I hope you dug it. Make sure you leave us a comment on Twitter, Facebook. Check out the YouTube videos. Everything is at RebelRadio.net. And most importantly, come back for more Rebel Radio next week.